The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were then leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Take heart, get up, he is calling you. In the name of our loving, liberating, life-giving God. Amen. My friends, my heart is breaking again this morning. In a week of blind hate jammed with letter bombs, mass shootings, fear-mongering, and uncivil discourse. How do we respond to these words? Take heart, get up, he is calling you. Are they really words of hope? Do we dare believe anything could be different? How could we know for sure? Who do we trust? In the gospel, what immediately precedes these words of invitation were the same people trying to silence those cry for help, trying to keep the one on the side of the road in his place. Take heart, get up, he is calling you. Bartimaeus trusts the Son of David, and he casts aside all his belongings, leaps up, and goes to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, we heard the same question last week. James and John wanted positions of power and authority. They wanted recognition. And the week before that, the rich young man wanted confirmation of his ticket to heaven, but only at a price he was willing to pay. Bartimaeus simply wants to see again. Jesus heals him right there. Bartimaeus is given a new way of seeing in Jesus and responds by following Jesus on the way. In the next chapter, we will find that the way leads to Jerusalem and to the cross for Jesus, to what seemed like utter failure for his followers. Was Bartimaeus healed only to witness the crucifixion? We don't know. As post-resurrection Christians, we do know that the cross wasn't the end, that hate and sin and death do not have the last word. God does. And God speaks words of life, hope, and love. But today we have the story of Bartimaeus to ponder. And today, we also have to ponder that we saw what hate is truly capable of in this country over the past week. Packages of pipe bombs, two black people executed in a grocery store with a killer saying to the white man he passed on the way out, "Whites don't kill whites." A synagogue murder scene with the executioner shouting, "Jews must die." There are reasons to want to stay blind and not see the people on the side of the road. It's scary. And after all, it's not here. We have busy lives and enough on our plates to worry about. But it always comes to this. In truth, it's easier not to see. It's easier not to see the people on the side of the road, people who are different, people who are problematic to our worldview. Because to see them risks believing that things could be different. It risks having ourselves drawn into following the way when we can't be sure where the way leads. But the cries are there and the cries are real. And Jesus calls to them, and Jesus calls to us and asks the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Do you want power? Do you want a cheap ticket to heaven? Or like the blind man, do we want to see? Do we want God to break through the spiritual blindness so that we can really see the way Jesus has for us? This year, your fellow parishioners have stood before you and told their stories about how they found themselves on the side of the road. They told stories of the healing that they received. Those stories have included mental illness, substance abuse and addiction, stories of sexual assault and debilitating depression, stories of how in the midst of shame, fear, and despair, they heard Jesus calling their name through people in this congregation, stories of the strength that it took to persist, the courage it took to believe that Jesus really was calling, the determination it took to get up from the side of the road and come to Jesus. The gospel is too critical. The good news is too important for it to go unheard. In a world caught in blind hate, driven by fear, we need a new vision and we need hope. We need to be given a new way of seeing in Jesus. I am convinced that at All Saints, we really do want to see the way Jesus has for us. We have already made a tremendously generous investment in the future, a future that will stretch beyond our lifetimes and serve people we have yet to meet. This work is only the beginning. Set free to serve was the tagline of our capital campaign. Without the weight of the mortgage bogging us down, we have been set free. We have been set free to focus on ministry in new ways. But to do that, for that to happen, we also have to secure our yearly budget. That's why our annual giving is so important. This work takes resources, resources of time and talent and, yes, treasure. When we make a financial plan for worship and music, the gospel is proclaimed in generous praise. When we budget for Christian education and youth ministry, the gospel is proclaimed in transformation. When we open this facility for those who work with people cast to the side of the road, the gospel is proclaimed in hope. There are many ways to proclaim the gospel. There are things that we know how to do and things we haven't tried, things we've never done before, and things we haven't thought of yet. The way of the future is not entirely clear. We don't know exactly what it will look like. It's never been done before. But while we may not know the way with complete clarity, we know we're called. And in that old statement, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we know that the way leads, yes, through the cross, but to resurrection. And we know that we are called to proclaim the gospel in this community to people who have not yet heard it, and to be about bringing the kingdom of God here on earth, in this place, in this community, and beyond. The way of the future may not be entirely clear, but about this I am clear. I believe we are people of faith, not fear. I believe we have learned that we are all people who have been stuck at various times in our life, maybe even right now, stuck on the side of the road. And Jesus calls our name, and Jesus heals us and gives us new eyes to see. And because of this, I believe that we are people who go to the side of the road to seek out those who are stuck there, those who need encouragement, those who need hope, those who need tangible evidence that they are beloved children of God. And I believe we have the courage to trust that things can be different and the will to make it so. As my heart is heavy, I am encouraged by the words Bishop Sean closed his letter in response to the events in Pittsburgh yesterday. He said, in circumstances such as these, the church has a mission to comfort the afflicted, to sow seeds of peace, and to advocate for justice. In prayerful humility, let us be about it. When we surrender to the way of Jesus, to our Godward path, God's generosity abounds, letting us see where we are to go. When we surrender to the way of Jesus, we are transformed by God's abundant generosity to see, with vision, to see what's important, to remain true to our calling and live into our authentic life. God's transforming generosity overcomes our various blindness and gives us new eyes to see. Take heart. Get up. He is calling each one of us.